We pray. May the words of my lips and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You know, ever since Adam and Eve's expulsion from paradise, life's biggest question has always been, how can I find peace with a holy God made angry by my sinning? And down through the centuries, this theological question has weighed heavy on every heart. But today we live in a world that no longer recognizes the existence of God or acknowledges the reality of its sins. And so the question of wanting to be right with God seems hopelessly outdated. What God thinks of me has become irrelevant to our narcissistic generation that lives for no higher purpose than for itself and indulging in its shallow pleasures. So instead of asking, what must I do to appease the God who I have so greatly offended by my sinning, life's most pressing question has been reduced to, what will make me happy? But anyone who lives without any accountability to God is going to find it hard to understand the life of the great reformer or to appreciate his Reformation writings. For Luther saw the universal big picture. He understood that the whole world is accountable to God and will one day, without excuse, stand silent before him. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. And so Luther went right to the heart of the matter. And he did this by rediscovering the gospel of God's free grace and favor and forgiveness in Christ. The papal church that indoctrinated Luther as a child did not proclaim Christ as the merciful Savior that you and I have come to know. But instead, Christ was portrayed as a new lawgiver and judge, as a kind of Moses on steroids. For this reason, the law resonated with Luther, who in his zeal for God lived out under the law, decided he would become a monk. Luther attempted to perform all of his religious duties to exacting perfection. But when he fell short of this laudable goal, Luther was left wondering, how can I, in my unrighteousness, ever face a righteous God? Luther became acutely aware of his sinful imperfection and the all-pervasive nature of sin, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And this thought terrified Luther. Like the medieval church that catechized him, Luther started out his theological career believing that the law had been given by God to save mankind. And yet Luther was learning through his own failed experiences at keeping the law that by the works of the law, no human being will ever be justified in God's sight. In his fervor as a monk, Luther went to confession all the time and for the slightest infraction. The things that Luther came to confess were so trivial that his father confessor, Staupitz, head of the Augustinian order, politely asked Luther not to return until he had some real sin to confess. Our enlightened world might assume that Luther, with his obsessive fear of displeasing God, was an uneducated man filled with medieval superstition. However, Dr. Martin Luther was a highly educated and brilliant man who had an earned doctorate and a faculty position at the University of Wittenberg. And it was here that Luther gained scholarly access to the Bible, which, because it had yet to be published, was not easily available. Nor was the Bible accessible to ordinary people because it had not yet been translated into any language except for Latin. It was crucial to the Reformation that Luther was gifted with the linguistic abilities to study the Bible in its original languages of Hebrew and Greek, without the papal church's interpretive spin on it. It served the success of the Reformation that just a few years later, while in seclusion, Luther would first translate the entire Bible into the language of the German people, his people. There in his study, as he read the bare text of sacred scripture alone, God led Luther to rediscover the gospel in all of its resplendent glory, that you and I are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It would be here in the book of Romans that Luther would discover there are two kinds of righteousness. There is our own human attempt at righteousness, which is never enough, and there is the righteousness of another. The righteousness that Christ earned for us by his perfect life and by his innocent sufferings and death. And this other kind of righteousness is a righteousness that is not found within us. But this righteousness from God comes from outside of us, based entirely of what Christ already accomplished for us on the cross. And it is on account of this righteousness of Christ that God justifies the ungodly and the unrighteous, declaring every such sinner who trusts in Jesus not guilty. Luther later remarked that when he discovered the gospel, it is as if the gates of paradise opened in front of him. Reading Paul's letters to the Romans, he learned about the gospel of imputed righteousness of Christ, a righteousness that God credits to you and to me through faith that had been there in the biblical text the entire time. But centuries of church tradition had clouded the gospel and had contradicted the Bible and had prevented Luther from seeing the gospel until now as he read it for himself in Scripture. It was during this period in Luther's theological development that he came to realize that the law had never been given by God to save us, but only to show us our sins, so that you and I would see the futility of seeking a right relationship with God engineered by our own efforts. The law always accuses and condemns such self-righteous notions as they arise in our sinful hearts. While the gospel, as a gift from God, bestows upon repentant sinners the forgiveness that has been forever accomplished by Jesus Christ. For the Bible says that he, Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us so that we might become his righteousness before God. So you see, the Reformation was not about petty or peripheral matters. It was about the saving gospel that proclaims that therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It was about God graciously using his servant Martin Luther to restore spiritual life and health to the church by restoring the gospel of God's free grace in Christ to its rightful place in the church. Going right to the heart of the matter, by God's grace, Luther found life's most important answer to death's hardest question. How does a sinner find his way back to God? The Reformer and the Reformation dealt with this central question of the Christian faith and concluded that upon the cross, Christ Jesus suffered in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us back to God. During the Middle Ages, the outward church had stopped being the church as often as it led others away from Christ by teaching its members to trust in their own religious good works in addition to the gospel. That visible organization that called itself the church throughout these centuries indeed had the appearance of the Christian church. Yet the spiritual reality of it was that this church was lifeless and without a pulse for almost 1,000 years. For throughout these centuries, the heart of the gospel had stopped beating as sinners were taught that work saved them in addition to Christ, instead of being taught that we are justified by God's grace in Christ. In our day, the outward church is once again facing the danger of losing the gospel. This is due to the fact that this generation of Christians has very little appetite for hearing the law, about hearing what displeases God as it is proclaimed from their pulpits. But in fact, the less we hear of the law, the less the 21st century church truly appreciates the saving truth of the gospel. For our failure to keep God's law is what provides us with the theological context that is so crucial to understanding the importance of the gospel in our lives. For the law is what prepares our hearts to receive the gospel with joy by revealing our desperate need for a Savior. Many 21st century churches fail to grasp that without being confronted first about our sins in the law, hearts grow cold and apathetic to the gospel. Those who have never heard God's law think they are without sin, and they have this sense of entitlement, thinking that God owes them heaven independent of the gospel. Luther faced a different problem. Churchgoers prior to the Reformation heard almost all law and very little, if any, gospel. The law in his day frightened poor sinners with the constant thought of hell. But without the gospel, there was no Christ to come to their rescue and rescue them from their eternal fate. While some lip service was still paid to Christ for having taken away original sin, sinners were taught that they must extricate themselves from their sins, the sins they had committed beyond the day they were baptized. The papal church taught that they were to work off their sins through acts of penance, which included the purchase of papal indulgences. Luther immediately understood how the sale of indulgences contradicted the gospel and robbed Christ of his glory. By suggesting that faith in his atoning work was not enough to save them, but required the addition of good works to make sinners right with God. The Reformation began with Luther's objection to the sale of indulgences, which led to his nailing of the 95 Theses to the castle church door in Wittenberg, Germany. But my friends, the true Reformation came about when God used his servant Luther to get to the heart of the matter by rediscovering and restoring the gospel to its central place in the church and within every Christian heart. And the gospel is this: that a sinner is justified in God's sight and is saved by God's grace, not through works they do, but only through faith in what Christ has done. When he died on the cross to forgive sinners by being punished for the sins of every sinner. Luther learned this important lesson as a reformer of the church, that the church stands or falls based upon her willingness to proclaim and defend this gospel. That being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ without our works. This gospel that God restored to his church through Luther has not only been a blessing to Lutherans, but for nearly five centuries has actually blessed all Christians and the entire church. Even Roman Catholic theologians today will tell you that they have been blessed in their own understanding of the gospel through the works and writings of Martin Luther. And so every Christian denomination, indeed every Christian, owes his or her ability to express the gospel of God's free grace in some way because of this monk that God used to restore this truth that sets us free. Whether our secular world cares to admit it or not, there is a God. And there is a day coming when this God will get to the heart of the matter and hold everyone accountable for the way they have lived their lives. I think you'd be surprised how quickly facing death resurrects the important universal question: how can I, a poor, miserable sinner, stand before a righteous God, unashamed and unafraid? There are only two answers to this question, since there are only two kinds of righteousness by which we can approach God. Either you will plead your own righteousness on that great day, in which case God will reject you and send you into the outer darkness, or by God's grace you will have lived your life by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you, and relying upon his blood and righteousness as your righteousness before God, in which case God will receive you with open arms to live forever with him in his kingdom. Martin Luther, like St. Paul, got to the very heart of the matter by insisting that heaven can only happen for us by grace alone, through faith alone, and because of the righteousness of Christ alone. May God grant this blessing also to you. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes our understanding keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.